Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So the Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, Simon Harris, is here now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
You heard there, people in those level 4 affected countries, counties are stunned this morning. Stunned. And that announcement has taken everybody by surprise, I think, particularly the escalation of restrictions around the country. Can we expect more to come? Is that your sense?
I think it's more likely than not that that's the trajectory we're on. But I do want to say to people this morning, it's not inevitable that we go that way. And can I just take 1 minute to say three things I think we can all do? Because I am conscious that every single time some government minister says we need people to do more, everybody starts shouting and roaring at the radio because people are wrecked, they're exhausted, they're fatigued, they're stressed. This has gone on a hell of a long time. But if we actually are honest with each other, and I include myself in this, I think there are three things we can all do. We were really good at working from home. We were really good at it. Not everyone can work from home, but a lot of us were. Level 3 came in last week, about 9 days ago, and I travel in by the N11 most days when I need to go to work or go to the Dáil. I haven't seen a reduction in traffic, and I think we have to be being honest
with
ourselves.
My regular commentary on this, and I think this morning was the busiest day in about 3 weeks.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, I think, and I would say to business owners who've been brilliant, they need to show leadership here. We need to act now, because you can actually keep your employees safe by actually going back to working from home. For some people, it won't be possible to work from home every day, but everyone needs to have that conversation in their workplace. So that's one thing that can make a big difference. The second thing that I really believe is a game changer is these household visits. And again, let's be honest with each other. Even in my own life, I live near my parents. There's nothing I like doing more at the weekend than calling in for a cup of tea. When we meet with our extended families or our friends in homes, we tend to subconsciously think we're safe. We think we can't spread the virus to each other. And of course, that's not true. I was just looking at figures this morning. Out of 4,957 outbreaks up to the 10th of October, 3,532 of them were in private homes. So in an effort to be able to spend Christmas together, we do now need to cut out the popping in for the cup of tea. And that's tough. I know,
okay,
it's tough, but that's
so
a game changer.
So the home visits, working home from home.
And then the third one is the face coverings. At the start, and I was involved in this, at the start the evidence around face coverings was mixed. Over the last number of months, we've gotten much better at wearing face coverings. But again, if we're honest with each other, we're still not all wearing them right. The amount of people we all see, you know, not covering the nose or down around the chin, we just need to make a big effort. So work from home. Cut out the house visits just for the next couple of weeks to try and get those businesses back open. I think that could be a game changer. And face masks.
How comfortable are you now with the decision not to go with Leffert's advice on level 5?
I don't think it's a secret to say I'm really conflicted on this. I'm conflicted on it because Tony Hoolan, I trusted my health and my family's health. He's been amazing journalist.
He was right.
But I have to say this, Tony, and I think Tony would say this, we have to consider as government more than just COVID. And when myself and Leo and Tony and others asked the country to lock down in March, that was the first time we were asking people to lock down. We have to now work out what people can bear and sustain. People are at their wits' ends, Claire. And what we have to try and do
is stretch. And 61% of people want more restrictions.
They do, and
they want it dealt with.
They do, and that's what we did last night. So what we have to try and do is stretch level 3. What can we possibly get out of level 3 to see if we don't have to go further? But we won't be found wanting if we do need to go further. But there's a window here, a very, very small window in this watershed moment to try and stop going back to the very, very restrictive situation we saw in March and April.
I asked people to send in questions for you, and I better get to them because there are an awful lot. I'm a house painter and I'm unsure how to interpret the no visits to households. Can I still do my job? Now, we have had an awful lot of questions from upholsterers, from electricians, from plumbers. Are they allowed to go into people's houses?
Yes. So I really want to put this to bed because I'm getting a lot of questions on that too. So if you're a plumber, an electrician, a builder, a painter, you're going to work. And if you're doing the job in someone's house, you're going to work in their home. So yes, you're allowed, and that was allowed in the past. But can I also use this opportunity to say, if you're going into someone's home or having someone into your home for work, do take precautions. So ventilation, try leave the windows or doors open, wear face masks. We often like to kind of have the cup of tea or the biscuit or the chat with someone who's doing the trades. That mightn't be the brightest thing to do right now. So keep your distance, keep your face mask on, and try and ventilate your home. Okay. But tradespeople and construction is allowed to continue.
This person is getting married in a couple of weeks. I don't live in the county where I'm getting married, and neither do any of my guests. Can my sister and my fiance's brother travel to our wedding as witnesses so that the wedding can go ahead? Well, can anyone travel to the wedding, I suppose, is the question. No,
no, this is the heartbreaking question we've been getting since the start, but sadly not. Sadly not. And I mean, the wedding numbers now are clear. When you're at level 3, it's 25 people, but we've to stay within our county. And when you're at level 4, it's 6 people. We obviously, just on the 6 in the Cavan, Monaghan and Donegal, those changes don't come in till Monday for people who obviously might have had a wedding organised for this weekend.
Can my son travel to and from university? I live in Donegal and he's in university in Limerick, but only needs to be on campus 4 or 5 days a month.
So yeah, this is a question I get asked a lot, as you can imagine. Your son needs to obviously try and establish where he's living. So I get this from a lot of students. I'm from Wexford, but I'm in college in Cork. Different students will make different decisions. Some will decide to largely stay on in their college accommodation because maybe they have a part-time job or some friends there. Others will decide to come home. What we're trying to reduce is the back and forth. So, I mean, you shouldn't be coming home constantly, you know, commuting backwards and forwards. But if you do have to travel for college, you're allowed. You're allowed to travel for work. We're just asking people to use common sense to limit it.
Yeah, and just interested to know what's going to happen with campus accommodation, because it is open, right? It is all
absolutely
open.
Absolutely, it is open, yes.
For people who can't study from home or need to be there for broadband access or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to somebody who said while the accommodation is open in their Dublin college, there aren't any facilities. So they're all sharing toast and takeaways. I mean, that does not sound like a good recipe for COVID success here. And we know what happened in the UK, where we had hundreds of people in universities testing positive. So are you concerned about that? Are you considering closing campus accommodation?
I'm not currently considering that, but I did take actions that they didn't take in the UK in terms of moving the bulk of college online to try and reduce that. And we have seen the occupancy levels in student accommodation significantly down in last year. But you are right, we have decided not to close campus accommodation for a number of reasons.
Are you concerned though? I mean, if they're all there sharing takeaways, that could be a significant problem for you in 2 weeks' time.
So the sharing of, I'm obviously taking the anecdote as you give it to me, but I mean, my understanding from what I've heard is that there's very good procedures in place across the universities. It's very important that those regulations are followed and I'd expect them to be continued. I have been engaging with students' unions, with college leaders and with unions, trade unions, and we have made the decision now that it makes sense to keep college largely online until the end of this calendar year, the 2020, to try and provide some degree of certainty to people.
This listener looks after their 90-year-old mother in my own home. She needs care to help with her mobility. She also suffers from dementia, which is getting worse. My sister helps out with mam's care by bringing her to her home at weekends.
That's fine.
That's okay.
If it's for care needs, I mean, we don't want anyone to be left alone here or anyone left without care. So if it's a care need, it's important that that continues, and it's important that all people, particularly older people, know that the intention here is not to leave anyone isolated or on their own.
Or is a mobile hairdresser who works in people's homes allowed to carry on?
You might have got me there.
It's the same as the plumber, isn't it?
I would imagine so, subject to the right precautions. Hairdressing can stay open at level 3, but not at level 4.
Would it be useful to provide people with a list of essential workers?
So I think that has been provided.
I wonder whether people who are travelling to work this morning on the roads know whether they're, because we sometimes get queries in here. My boss has insisted that I come to work, but actually I can do my job from home. So how do I deal with that? You know, what do I say to my boss? Do I have any rights?
And this is where I'm really making a very direct appeal to employers this morning to show the leadership that they showed during March and April, because that is the best chance of keeping their business open. So government will be engaging again with business representative groups, and the rule needs to be quite straightforward. If you can do your job from home, your employer should try and facilitate you in doing that. Mm-hmm. And we saw that happen really, really good during the first wave. We need to see that again.
And maybe a little reminder of who the essential workers are mightn't be
absolutely
any harm either.
And I think the essential workers, particularly when you get to level 4, it's obviously our frontline care workers, but it's also people involved in the provision of food and medicine as well, and not a huge amount beyond that.
Okay. Mary wants to know, why didn't they close or limit off-licence opening hours?
This is something that we haven't ruled out doing. I note with interest that they've done it in the north. Don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I think this is something that government should give further consideration
to. Okay, so it's going to happen,
it's certainly in the mix.
Are you in favour of closure or limiting the hours? Because it's 8 o'clock in the evening, I think, it's in the north.
Limiting the hours, okay. I think. I'm in favour of doing anything that can better align in terms of an all-island approach.
Yeah, and that's an issue that our clothes shop owner has as well. I mean, The fact that he has to close his doors and then the customers all go over the border to shop is crackers.
Well, it is. But firstly, to the people in Donegal, I think that man was from Donegal.
Yeah.
I mean, firstly, we're asking you, in the interest of your health, your family, people's lives, getting that business back open in Donegal, we're asking you not to travel for clothes shopping. We're asking you to stay within your county. And we've, and I think people, when you talk frankly, bluntly and honestly to people, they do follow the guidance. I think when they don't follow the guidance, when it's confusing. So be very clear, we're asking people to stay within their county and only leave their county for essential things. Going shopping in the north is not essential.
There's an interesting one now, and I don't know whether you'd be able to answer this, but in level three areas, are there any changes for youth groups such as scout groups meeting outdoors? Are 15 in total still able to meet?
Yes, there's no change in that regard. So they can still meet outdoors in the same way that they were. The only change in level three now for the rest of the country is in relation to the household visits and also the removing of the exemption for the championship games.
OK, so if you go to a pub serving drinks outdoors, you can still meet up with five other people from one other household.
Correct.
But if you're involved in some sort of sporting activity, it's 15. Am I right?
Yeah, if it's an organised sporting event, yes, for training and the likes.
OK, because Brendan says that he and his wife maintained lockdown restrictions. Level four doesn't bother him as a result. But what he doesn't understand is why the government says that 15 people can still meet up outside for sport. So a group of 15 cyclists can go shoulder to shoulder together, or a group of 15 get together to train for sport.
Yeah, but I think it's important, and I'd say only if you can do so safely. And I think the Taoiseach was very, very clear in relation to that. What we're trying to do, Claire, is allow people to have a little bit of a life. We're trying to make sure that people can get a bit of exercise, can keep up their training, but only if it can be done in a safe manner. So it's up now to anybody involved in training to satisfy themselves in that regard in terms of keeping distance. And I think that is really, really important. I think when it comes to areas like pubs, we know that alcohol is not a friend in terms of our battle against this virus.
Mm-hmm. And would you think, looking at how the business is going to run up to Christmas, that perhaps going to level four nationwide or even level five now, so that people can have some sort of a business lift in the few weeks before Christmas, that that's a more sensible option than waiting to see how all of this plays out?
So what we are trying to do here is make sure that people can have a Christmas and make sure that we can try and get together in some capacity, in some way, with friends and family over Christmas. That's what we're trying to do, to do what we did in the first wave, get on top of this, suppress it, get the numbers back down. We genuinely believe if people take on board the advice now that we're asking, particularly in relation to household visits and the working from home, we believe there is a potential for that to be a game changer. Mm. We have done it before as a country, so it is not beyond us. The difference though this time is, understandably, we're all fatigued and tired and fed up. But the prize here is big. The prize here, along with saving lives, keeping businesses open, is actually being able to see family and friends again. And that's what we all want.
But what will happen if Tony Houlihan and Neffet, and meet their meeting today, recommend this evening that we go to level five? What will you be saying?
So the same thing that will happen, the same thing that happens after every Neffet meeting will happen. If they make any recommendations, they'll be considered very robustly, very thoroughly. I think though we're a week into level three. We're less than a day in fact, we're not even in yet. The extra measures that were announced last night in relation to households, which are enhanced measures, we're making a very, very, very clear request of business owners in relation to working from home. And generally, when I was in health, I certainly remember that it used to take about 2 weeks to see if measures had an impact. I think we should now see how much we can stretch level three, how much we can try and get the numbers down.
The dilemma is that if you leave it a couple of weeks and it doesn't work, you're then looking at problems in the lead up to Christmas, which is the most valuable time for many of those small business owners.
Absolutely. And I want to say, I mean, this is under review every day. I mean, every single day, our best experts and government are looking at this situation. I'm just making the point that I genuinely believe over the next fortnight, if we take these new measures really seriously, each of us in our own lives, I think we can make a real difference.
How would you feel about a curfew like France?
I noticed they brought that in France. We've never done that in Ireland. We didn't need to do it in wave one to get on top of it. I mean, what we did in wave one, what we did when we were at our best, quite frankly, working together, not being divisive, not having them versus us, everyone pulling in the same direction. What we did was we understood, all of us, that this virus can jump from me to you. And the only way to slow down its spread is to keep apart. And I think if we get back to those basics of trying to keep our distance, reduce our discretionary social contacts, and what an awful phrase that is, because we're human beings, mm-hmm. we like to meet up. But for the sake of between now and the 10th of November, I think we can try to move to higher terrain. But we're at a watershed moment. I mean, we could yet be overwhelmed by this virus, and what we do and don't do now will make a massive difference.
Okay, I'm being told that we cannot keep up with the number of questions that are coming in. Now, that either tells you that people are very keen to listen or that they're confused.
Well, I think, can I suggest what I think it tells, what it certainly tells me as a government minister, what it tells me as a person in this country, is people are eager to do the right thing. And they're not eager to do the right thing to please the government, or they're not eager to do the right thing to please NPHET. They're eager to do the right thing by their family and by their community. They want to support their local businesses. They want to be able to see their mother for Christmas. And I certainly hope people aren't confused, because what we're trying to say here is actually quite straightforward in many ways. It's difficult but straightforward.
Okay. Well, somebody here wants to see their mother, 94-year-old mother, in a nursing home, and they're just not clear on what the rules are around visits. The place has been closed for 3 weeks and she's calling for us, which is desperately sad. Is that, are visits allowed under level three?
So I think we know that visits are largely suspended, except for critical and compassionate circumstances. Okay. Now, the reason here, again, and these are really difficult things, but the difficulty here is if this virus starts getting back into nursing homes, we know how devastating it can be. But there are, and I want to say this, there are compassionate grounds allowed for visits, and our nursing homes are working with families in that regard.
Now, we didn't get to talk as much about third level as we might have hoped. How is it going, though, particularly for first years who are having to learn remotely? Because when I was thinking about this, I was wondering, you know, how difficult must it be to get your head into a course to, you know, cope with that shift to third level and the different way of learning if you're not physically there?
Very difficult. Really difficult, but we have to put their health and their safety first. So what we're trying to do to assist them, I suppose, is a number of things. We have worked with our universities to allow them an area of discretion where they can bring in small numbers of students for tutorials and the like. So not big classes, not big lectures, but bring people in pods, if you like, in small numbers to get them used to get them used to college life, to get them to see the institution that they're going to be a part of for a number of years. What I would say to our students is, and I know that it seems like we're stuck in an god-awful time warp that goes on and on, and every day we're talking about COVID-19. This won't last forever, and this won't be your entire college experience. We've also put, and I won't go through it all now, but we've also put funding in place for laptops, for connectivity if you need access to broadband. We've tried to keep our college libraries open, and we've put in place a €50 million financial support package, recognising that if you're a student at home, you might have had to buy a webcam, a desk, a chair. You know, there's costs associated with this as well.
And what do you do? Apply to your college for that?
So
access to that.
I basically got this in the budget this week. I'm now designing the scheme. The two areas that I'm looking at is a once-off top-up to the SUSE grant, which nearly half our students get. And then secondly, for those who've paid registration fees, seeing if we could return some to the account they paid it out of. So we'll have the details of that in about a week.
We have a very worried mother, 20-year-old daughter who is a second-year student in college. All lectures are online, totally isolated in her bedroom trying to learn, not allowed to meet her friends who are in other colleges and are staying in their college bubbles, and she can't see her old school friends and she can't meet her college classmates. I'm very, very worried. That's very tough.
Absolutely, that's extremely tough. And I'd be very worried in that situation too. What I would say is that I would recommend that that student, or indeed mother, reaches out to the university directly or to the institution directly. There are, and I know this from my meetings with university leaders and student unions, there are significant supports available for people there. Nobody should find themselves in that situation. I can't provide college life as we'd like this year. There's no two ways about that. But equally, it's not acceptable that anyone would find themselves in that situation. So be it mental health supports, but also ways of safely meeting up. I mean, USI, our students' union, have been really good on this. Like, students get a hard time, and the stereotype is lazy, right, that people apply to students. Of trying to suggest everyone parties and all this. I mean, remember what everyone was like when they were 20. You have to meet up. And what USI have done is really good. They've said 3 Ks, keep it safe, keep it small, and keep your distance. So we're not asking people not to see each other. We're just asking, you know, go for the walk, have the cup of coffee outside, that sort of stuff.
We've got to leave it there. Thank you very much
for coming
in, Minister Simon Harris.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.